Hey, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of Indie Film Cafe. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I've got my co-host with the mostest, or moostest, here, Paul A. Presenza. How are you doing, Paul?
I am moveless. The sleepy, sleepy moo cow's wrapped up in a blankie in his blanket fort of despair, and I'm doing just fine.
All righty. And then we've got a special, special guest who's not been on this particular show before, but we're really excited to have her here. Please welcome Lydia Manson. How are you doing, Lydia?
I'm fine. How are you guys?
Yay.
We're really excited to have you. We have worked with Lydia on a movie called The Dark Office that we can't wait to share with you guys in a couple months. But until then, we wanted to bring her on here. So she could talk about this movie and then eventually promote some of the stuff that she's working on.
One of the things we love to do is to torment our friends with bad movies.
Yes, and we all know how much I love bad movies, Jonathan.
Oh, please. You got off light.
You actually did get
the movies I show.
You got off light. We're going to be talking about the 2003 Jackass CKY film Haggard the Movie, and I really can't wait to dive into this, because this was definitely something, like, honestly, and we'll talk more about it, but Lydia, you definitely got off light, because we have showed some terrible movies on the show.
And oh, I can imagine the movies that you pick out.
Well, Barn, I mean, no, Paul is
and
worse.
Everything down worse than that.
Okay, so before then, though, let's turn on some mood music. And we are back. So we're here to talk about Haggard the Movie, which is a 2003 film. I don't remember exactly when I discovered it. But I do remember that I absolutely fell in love with it from the second I watched it. It's a movie that I
really
watched. Yes, this is a movie I've watched like a lot in my life, honestly. And I, you know, it's funny because Lydia's not a normal, like, she is not a regular on the show, so she doesn't know like a lot of the stuff that we watch. But this is a comedy, like a silly comedy, and I would love to really kind of get everybody's overall like feeling. I'm going to start with Lydia, because it seems like she has a couple things to say about this. So
yeah,
Lydia,
just put me on the spot my first time.
Let us have it, Miss Lydia.
Yeah, let's have it, because you sound like you didn't feel the same way as me as like loving this movie.
Personally, no.
Okay.
I would probably never watch it again.
I'm feeling your pain there, Miss Lydia.
Oh, really? Okay, so at least we have that in common.
Wow, I'm the odd man out on this one. Jeez.
Pain and woe. Pain and woe.
Yeah. I can't say that there's much that I liked about it.
Wow.
Wow. Well, okay. We'll kind of go into like a lot of other stuff, but overall, Paul, did you enjoy it?
You know, it had parts that I thought were really good. It had parts that I wish had been explored a little bit better. It reminded me, I think we talked about this before, it reminded me a lot of like a Warren Miller kind of thing, you know, where those guys, Casey, and you know, it just wasn't as clever as that. And it didn't really have the kind of likable characters that make you forgive some of the dumb shit that goes on, because that's what this movie is. It's kind of like dumb humor, you
right.
know, and
juvenile
and, you know,
humor.
Right. I mean, I'm not the kind of person, I never watched Jackass. I never watched any of that kind of stuff. It's not really my thing. But it's nice to see that there were more things in this than just that, because I would have hated it if it were just, you know,
if
a rehash
just
of Jackass.
Yeah. Well, it was a movie, You know, it wasn't a feature length film. Like, it wasn't just a bunch of guys running around doing stunts, you know, and stuff and slapping each other in the face.
But there were a number of things in there that I hated.
So okay.
We will talk about that.
We will talk about that for sure. And I'm glad you mentioned that because, you know, like I said, I enjoyed it a lot and I watch this all the time or whatever. So,
really?
Yeah. It's, I don't know, maybe it was your first time watching it, but, maybe if you gave it a second shot
and
sometime,
the last,
yeah. Okay. Never mind then.
I don't know. I didn't find the humor in it.
Were you a fan of Jackass at all? Like,
I do like Jackass.
Okay.
Why?
It's silly and goofy and fun to me. I think that's why I like it. I don't know.
I didn't find any of that in this film.
All right. Well, let's talk about the story, basically. This is sort of a... this is actually based on real events that, well, in a way, not all of it is based on real events, but the idea of Ryan Dunn had a girlfriend who basically treated him terribly. I remember hearing that basically his girlfriend like fucked a dude in their driveway and then came into the house and acted like everything was just fine.
So there was a real Glorin.
There was, and I don't know if her real name was Glorin, but they did kept calling her Glorin in the behind the scenes. So I'm wondering if that really was her name, and they just were like, you know, such a weird fucking name. Let's just keep it at that, you know. So basically, yeah, there was this situation with Ryan Dunn, who basically was one of the members of Jackass and CKY. And he had this girlfriend who kept cheating on him. And then they were like, well, let's kind of like explore that with some funny, like silly situations and have those characters kind of go sleuthing. And so basically that's what ends up happening is the characters go sleuthing and trying to basically, I don't know, kind of figure out what's going on and if she's actually cheating on him, and then just all these other situations pop up. There's a B storyline with a weird like invention of the future contest, which
I did like that.
You like that? So if you your idea was like if it was more about that like that goofy shit, you might have been more into it.
No, I just like the idea of a microwave that cools things down.
You mean you didn't like the poop being taped onto the garage door?
No.
You didn't like that part or the pooping into the gas tank?
No, because it's not physically possible.
Right.
It was that.
I mean, yeah, that would be, I don't know. But I think they were just thinking like, what could be the goofiest shit? What if you guys noticed, this came out in 2003. What came out in 1999 that was popular was American Pie. So they were like thinking, well, that dude fucked a pie on, you know, like, you know, they'll let that slide in Hollywood. We can have some.
Yeah, but you can do that. Like, yeah, that's true. That's possible. You taking a shit into a gas tank is literally never going to happen. Like you can't just stand in front of it and do that.
That's true.
I mean, you can try, but it's going to be real messy.
No, you can try, but it's never going to happen.
You're right.
Literally not going to happen.
Yeah. So I don't know if anybody would actually want to try this. You know, please don't try this at home. Should be on the
cover. Oh no, I'm sure people have tried.
What?
But they have failed. I'm guarantee it's happened.
Oh, it's gross.
You would need like a chute, I'm sure, you know, like
you need like a funnel or something.
Something, but to just stand there like he did.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
You could fart into it, but that's about it.
Yeah. You could fart into it.
And you really can't even do that because, you know, there's a little device that closes it that you have to, that's what the long curved part of the gas thing does is it opens that up, but you can't even do that. So
in the all that whole scene, He's shitting into the gas tank, which is not possible. Then they're putting their they are taping up shit onto a wall or whatever,
garage door.
And then on top of that, Bam gets pissed on. So two shits and a piss, in that one scene.
I like your hair.
Mine?
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
So anyway, let's talk about the movie. But Paul gets sidetracked a lot, to keep going with that. So there's those scenes. Then they try to break back into the house again and go through her drawers and find her diary and tape everything. But the people come home too early and they end up fucking and all of a sudden realize that there's a camera in the house and they have to escape before Rake Yon, aka Hellboy, beats the living shit out of them. which I think he does tackle Brandon's character. Falcone, I think. That's how you say his name. So, by the way, which character is your guys' favorite character of all the, if you could pick someone? I don't know if you lineate.
Well, for me, that's kind of the problem. I find most of them to be pretty meh. There's nobody that I really hate except one.
Which one?
God, that fucking grotard that keeps coming in and going,
Oh yeah.
He shows up a lot.
Are you talking about Hellboy or are you talking about
I'm talking about that idiot who's who just shows up and yells. He shows up the party and house, and he's yelling when the other guy gets hit over the head with the watermelon.
He starts laughing in that scene. But
it's like totally over exaggerated brotard kind of person that I just wanted to smash in the face with a ball peen hammer every time I saw him.
You know who he's talking about, Lydia?
Yeah.
That character is probably, I'd say that one's the worst. I'd say my favorite character is Rab, the one that's just like, because it was a character that they actually created on CKY. A lot of these things were from CKY. So
I forget the name of the second girl, the one that he ends up with. Afterwards, I liked her.
You liked her. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you like any of the girls, Lydia?
I mean, that girl seemed like kind of more drawn to earth. Right. But I liked Valcone's cousin. He just kind of goofy.
Yeah, the Rab, character that was like, "Hey, Valcone," he's like singing in the shower and shit. It's funny because Bam Margera directed it and he plays like the lead, but he kind of plays like the most normal character, I guess, in the whole thing, which I guess they need to have sort of that, because him and Ryan kind of are like the the main characters and they're like the normal characters of them all. Right. Which I liked. Valo, which was Bam Margera's name, which is actually the lead singer of him. That's his name. And the lead singer of him did seven songs, which we'll get into the music
later. Right. I actually like the music.
Yeah. So we'll go into the characters right now. So there is Ryan Dunn, who plays Rye,
Rye.
Then there's Bam Margera, who plays Valo. Brandon DiCamillo, who plays Falcone, I liked him a lot because he was just so goofy. He was like, "I'm going to make the best refrigerator, reverse microwave. And what is it? And then, and then he's also playing G.I. Joe and shit. That was.
And he will trash somebody's house for Freon.
Yep, pretty much. He just needs money for Freon, which he never buys. He ends up finding when he's running away from Hellboy. Then there's Jennifer Revell, who was actually at the time that they shot it, was Bam Margera's girlfriend. And it's really funny because later his former wife or fiance, I think it was the girl from when they do the Invention of the Future contest and you see the two girls, the first girl he talks to before he actually ends up going with the other girl, you know, that was actually became his next girlfriend. So I thought that was a little weird in a way, you know, like how kind of like future kind of, you know what I mean?
Me like too, Bam. Me too.
And then there was Rakion, who played Hellboy. What'd you guys think of Hellboy?
Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't care either, Lydia?
No, I mean,
wasn't much to him.
Yeah, I think honestly that's because Rake, who played played him, isn't much of an actor, you know, like he can play sort of himself, which he does in the CKY stuff all the time, but he really isn't much of an actor. There's Anne-Marie Esposito, who was the girl at the coffee shop that stabs Ryan in the eye.
Right.
She was actually good friends with Jennifer Revell, and that's how they got her.
That was probably my favorite part in the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you like that scene where he's just like talking to her and all of a sudden he just gets stabbed in the eye?
I wouldn't.
It's like one of those moments that you wish in your head that you could do it and they actually do it. It's nice.
Yeah. So it wasn't your favorite scene kind of thing?
No, I liked it.
Yeah. And then there was, Brandon Novak played Dooley, who was like, I don't know what he was, but he was like a guy who just you call if you need something, you know? Like,
is that the naked guy?
No, that was Naked Dave. Which is a CKY character, you know, CKY right. guy. So
don't forget Tony Hawk, he played a cop.
Tony Hawk played the cop, which, I mean, did you notice that when you first watched it? Did you know that was Tony Hawk?
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool though. Like he was
there's a lot of skater stuff going on in this thing. And the other thing that's interesting to me, and I know we're talking characters now, but I wanted to kind of throw this out there. I had no idea that this was set in Westchester. I'm pretty familiar with Westchester. I came that close to going to grad school at Westchester University.
Oh, wow.
And I used to go down there because there was this gigantic bookstore nearby called the Book Barn. And, you know, it was probably the local rival university to the University of Delaware in Newark. And it was only about 40 minutes away. So we're pretty familiar with Westchester. And
did you know those areas? Did you see that location?
Oh, yeah. I kind of knew some of those areas, but then I saw them in the like 80s and 90s, not... What was that, 2003, 2004, something like that?
Yeah, 2002, 2003, so something like that.
Things kind of changed a little bit.
Okay.
But it was interesting. It was just, you know, a fun, interesting little bit that was kind of cool. I didn't expect.
All right. And then, so Brandon Novak played Dooley. Dooley was the guy who basically you could ask him for anything and he just gave it to you kind of thing. Like you would call him up, like when he calls the guy up to get a skateboard randomly, you know, that's what he is. But it's sort of funny to have that kind of character because he's just the guy who tells you what to, you know, tells you what to get, you know, or whatever, you know, he's that character.
Like a fixer.
Yeah, fixer, which they needed a couple times. He's the one who recommended Naked Dave.
As you do. You know?
Who doesn't recommend Nikki Dave? Then Jess Margera, who's Bam Margera's brother, played the Tetris guy. He was the guy at the Tetris, you know, playing Tetris the whole time. That's all he's doing is just like that was his character. I thought that was kind of funny. And Mark Hanna was your least favorite character, was the laughing guy. And awful. Then, oh, and we forgot to mention Don Vito.
Oh, yeah.
It was a big staple in the CKY and Bam Margera world. But like, if you ever watched Viva La Bam, he was a big part of that, too, because he was, I think, uncle to Bam Margera. Lydia, were you? Did you know of Don Vito before this movie?
Yeah.
Okay. So
they painted his kitchen blue.
Oh, that was in Viva La Bam, right?
Even the bananas.
So, did you like his character in this? Like the goofy, just random. I mean, he was just a random guy in this movie.
Just sitting there in a toga with two naked chicks in the bathroom.
Who, by the way, one of them was a school teacher. And so she was the one who kind of had her face like turned to the side so that her whole face wouldn't be recognized, because she did not want her kids that were at the school to see it and, you know, see her, you know, topless.
Lose her job, probably.
Probably lose her job, too, you know. Ooh. To be in it. Yeah, you just got in trouble for posting nudity. So we know you love the showing the boobies.
But
on
it was Bai Ling. She's so gorgeous, even now. What, 50 years old? She's gorgeous.
I told you that, Lydia. Right? That he got banned for that.
Yeah,
she's probably been eating a lot of those dumplings she makes.
Breaking the law.
Does she make dumplings?
You never saw the movie Dumplings that she's in?
Oh no.
Oh yeah, she's in it's an Asian film called Dumplings, where she makes dumplings out of aborted fetuses, and it's supposed to help make you stay young.
All right,
you might have to watch it for your next
for one of my art podcasts.
I will, and you know what?
You'll come back on that.
I recommend that one.
Nice.
So you'll come back on that one.
I will come back on that one, and I recommend that one.
I'm all about Bai Ling's dumplings. I'm just definitely about
it. And it is actually good.
That's a good
movie. She won a lot of awards for that one.
Ooh. It's an indie film too, right then? Because I've never heard of it. I don't think.
I don't know if it's really considered indie. I know it from an anthology called Three Extremes.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yes. So in that, it was just a short, but because it had done so well, they decided to make it its own feature.
Then it's probably indie then, because I don't think not many studios like do that, you know, they don't take something like that. So it's probably indie. It might work for Indie Film Cafe.
But there you go. I mean, talk about, you know, kind of going over the top and doing crazy shit, you know. Pooing, you know, putting poo on the wall is one thing, but serving dumplings made out of aborted fetuses, I mean, that's a big jump. You know.
So to go back to this movie, Jason Ellis was the Cactus at Record Bin guy. I guess he's like Australian or something. Yeah, was he? Yeah, he's Australian. He was the guy that beats the shit out of Rake for coming in. And, you know, he thinks he said that, what is it? That Narkill sucked or whatever. Which, I mean, I'm not going to lie. That's actually a badass name for a fucking band, Narkill, you know? So, and then you see Narkill in the movie, and that's actually CKY, you know, playing Narkill. So they like dress up in like weird face masks.
Yeah, wasn't Narkill supposed to be like a you know, a fake band or a parody band or something?
It's supposed to be like a parody band of like Gwar, you know, kind of thing, right. I think. So
that would have been cool if they had gotten Gwar. I'd have been all about that.
You know, Gwar is local, right, to Virginia. And then let's see, what else is there? Anybody else? I think that's pretty much all the big stars and everybody that's in it, because all the rest are, you know, the rest are like I guess Beth was the girl that Bam ended up hooking up with.
Yeah, at the end. She was the one I liked.
You liked that one? You didn't like the other girl that Ryan dated?
Yeah, no, you're right. It's the one that
Ryan met at the in the black taxi.
Right.
He was like, "Who drives a black taxi?" And he was like, "What other thing would I drive? A gray SUV or something?" You know, right? I was like, "That guy was hilarious." And I was like, "What is wrong with him?" Until he said, "He needed his pot." So I was like, "All right, stoner." Character, which was also Brandon DiCamillo, who did I think like 5 roles in this movie. You know, like anytime they needed a new character, they just put a wig and and put like really crazy like facial hair. You know what I'm talking about? Sure. Like what is it, like the contest guy, the guy who's running the invention of the future contest. And everything. Now that scene, let's talk real quick about that scene, because that scene was pretty freaking crazy. You know, there was 3, like basically 3 inventions. And of course we have to have Brandon win. So it had to be, or Falcone win, and it had to be the reverse microwave.
And of course what he ends up winning is his diamond studded bicycle, or right, wasn't it?
Yeah, which they were making fun of in the behind the scenes of like, who the fuck would want that? Like, that would get stolen in 2 seconds, you know, from somebody, you know, like that just seems like ridiculous. But that's why they wanted the most ridiculous prize that anybody could ever get, you know, a diamond bike, you know. Would you guys ride around in a bike filled with diamonds?
Probably not.
Okay. So let's see. And so what the other ones, the inventions, there's the his or her, what is it? Sex machine or whatever. And that shit was gross and funny. I thought, I don't know. What did you think, Lydia, the his or her sex machine?
Well, I mean, so many times the machines only care about the girls. So, I mean, I guess it's good that they gave a little bit of consideration to the guy.
Right. Exactly. There you go.
Yeah, so guys are easy to please.
Pretty much. And then the was the other one was the the juicer or whatever that you that had, like you could get kerosene out of it. Like, what? I was like, why would you, like Don Vito said, he was like, why would you want kerosene next to your grapefruit juice? You know, like, that just sounds.
Why would you want grapefruit juice next to your kerosene?
Either way, yeah.
Like, why would you want grapefruit juice or kerosene?
I don't know. I like grapefruit juice. Don't knock grapefruit juice.
Le.
You know, it's not tea. I'm sorry. You know, which I think was the other one. You could get tea, right, as well. Or something. I don't know. It was crazy. And then, or was it root beer? What was it? The third thing you could,
remember.
Know, out of the juicer. And then there was, so of course Falcone won that. And, you know, we had to have that scene. So let's, real quick talk about the, well, I guess we can talk a little bit about the direction of the movie. You know, which I thought Bam did a pretty damn good job, you know, as far as directing. You know, there wasn't, you know, we had no continuity issues. So Continuity Monkey did not have to come in there.
Nope, didn't need the monkey.
Darn, and, I was really hoping to see him again.
Oh, you can see him.
Is he around?
He's, I think he's under my bag, actually.
Oh.
We have to get up out of bed in order to get him. But if Lydia would like that, I will do it for Lydia's sake.
No, it's okay.
Oh, okay.
Lydia, you can say yes, because, you know, you really want to see the monkey, don't you?
No, Paul is comfortable.
But the thing is, I can get re-comfortable again very quickly.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
But yeah, there's, oh, you do want to see the continuity monkey, because you played with him a good amount on the set of The Dark Office, you know?
Well, yeah, and he was, you know, he ordered things on your credit card.
Yep. He did a lot of he did a lot of stuff. I still have those pictures, by the way.
He was a naughty little monkey.
And yeah, I'm not planning to delete them anytime soon.
Yay. You better not.
You know, they're a keepsake for that amazing time that I'm an idiot and left my phone on, you know, like where people can play with it. You know,
sometimes you got to make your own fun.
You know what?
We all know how much fun I like to have on set.
There you go.
Exactly, which we love. You know, we've always said we want to have you back on every set we can, you know. Let's see. So direction, I think the direction was pretty decent. He did a pretty good job. The camera editing, oh my God, the editing especially, I thought was pretty good, you know.
There was some interesting stuff there. You know, I keep in my head comparing this to Don's Plum just because it's been the last two movies that you've been, you know, suggesting. And there are a lot of similarities, but there are also a lot of very big differences between the two as well. But this one was a little bit better directed and had a little bit more going for it technically than Don's Plum did, which I thought was kind of surprising. I thought it was going to be the opposite.
Oh, really? Why did you think that?
I don't know. I just, you know, because I don't follow, you know, the CKY stuff or the Jackass stuff, I just figured this was going to be a bunch of, you know, skater punks, and it was all going to be kind of the same stuff over and over and over.
You thought it'd be more like the bro guy, like like that, which, you know, annoying shit like that. But, you know, I get it, you know. The reason I picked and the reason why I was excited for you to see it really was for Falcone and for Rap, because those two characters remind me a lot of like Chris Seaver type characters, you know, that are just so goofy and so out there and funny and stupid that they make us laugh, you know. But you compared it to Warren Miller, which I think is, you know, it's funny because Lydia has no idea what we're talking about, either of these characters, these directors. But Chris Seaver did a bunch of movies that we've reviewed, and Warren Miller directed a couple that we've reviewed. And both of them have made movies that have like these off the wall, weird kind of characters. But I think the difference is this felt a little bit more mainstream than those two.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that probably is the problem, you know, because like you could either make a mainstream movie, which you probably wouldn't have liked if they made it completely mainstream with just all the Ryan stuff and they concentrated mainly on that. But it was sort of half and half, you know?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, because that's the thing. Chris Seaver does not really do mainstream movies. So he goes over the top. He lets his actors go over the top. The characters go over the top. And that's what makes it so much fun for me. And they just were not that much fun to me in this one, because it just seems
half of them were like serious and you know, and everything, and then the other half were like goofy and everything. So it was like
not goofy enough for me to be engaged with it as much as like you were.
Okay, interesting enough.
The potential was there, and that's the thing, is that you know, there certainly could have been. I thought that the three main characters were acted pretty well. And I think if it had been more of a cleverer script, giving them more interesting or outrageous things to do and less sort of like, you know, mainstreamy sort of a feel to it, I think it could have been even better. So there's that. I mean, you know, I don't know that Don's Plum would have been that much more interesting. I pretty much despised all the characters in that film.
What were you gonna say, Lydia?
Oh no, I was just breathing.
Oh, okay. I thought you were gonna say something. But I'm actually gonna mention to you, Lydia, the reason I picked this movie for you was because I was pretty sure that you were a fan of like BAM and CKY and that kind of stuff. So I thought maybe you like it a little bit more than you did. But I was wrong, and I'm okay with that. You know,
never assume.
I never assume.
Lydia, what was the main issue with your dislike? I mean, with me, it was so much the characters, and especially that one character. Was it the characters? Was it just kind of the dumb stuff that was going on?
Just overall, it just kind of seem pointless to me. I don't know. Like, I just couldn't get into it. I didn't feel connected to anything in the storyline. I don't know.
Well, that's fair. I mean, because I don't think this movie was meant for you to be sort of connected to the stories, because, like, honestly, almost every character in the movie is unlikable in some way on purpose. You know, I feel like Ryan was whiny, you know, and obviously, and Ryan, everybody loves Ryan, period. You know, this is not who he is, you know, and I want to make sure Ryan is no longer with us, unfortunately. But he was not like this at all. This was not, you know, his normal self. You know, he's kind of playing himself to a very exaggerated, silly kind of way.
Yeah, I just wanted to be like, dude, suck it up.
Yeah, right. Suck it, get over it, you know, move on. There's other, you know, he finds another girl, you know.
I mean, had this situation been reversed, everybody would have been calling her a crazy bitch.
There you go.
Exactly. So here's the thing. Here's an interesting thing, though. To go back to that is, like, he does meet the girl in the black taxi because he's getting chased by a rake, right? But he wouldn't have discovered her. He wouldn't have met her. I mean, maybe he would have, but he probably, you know, probably wouldn't have if he hadn't, you know, had rake chasing him, because, you know what I mean? Like, and he had to do that because he was, you know, still upset with Rake dating, or Hellboy dating, you know, Glorin. And, you know, honestly, Glorin didn't deserve all this shit, you know, like this Glorin. Maybe she did cheat on him, but that we'd never actually see that, you know, we only see, like, her kind of seeing this other guy.
And I kept saying, why is she interested in either one of them? She's far prettier than either one of them need. You know what I mean? She could have easily gotten, like, a regular dude instead of these two idiots.
Exactly. And in real life, Jin was dating Bam, which, you know, makes more sense anyway, right? Let's see. So basically those characters were just so over the top of who they actually are, you know. Bam kind of played himself a little bit, I think, you know, like, I don't think Bam was at all exaggerated.
More of the straight guy of the whole thing.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think that was perfect because he had to be sort of the voice of reason for a lot of this stuff, you know. I didn't like a couple of his lines, though. There was a couple lines where he said stuff like, that's for 11-year-olds. I was like, what is that even, like, who says stuff like that? That seemed written, you know, like things like that. But that's another thing. This movie was definitely, you could definitely tell this movie is scripted, and CKY themselves are never scripted, you know. So, and there was a bunch of montages. What you guys think of the montages?
You know, definitely tell the you definitely tell that it was a movie of its time period. You know what I mean?
And you know, like most montages, they tend to get overused. So, like, the first one was okay, and then you get more, and it's pretty much the same. But, you know, I don't know. The fact that it was used, what helped it was using the tended to use some of the better music with the montages, which helped.
Which is what we're going to get into right now, is music. Because the music in that was probably the best part of the movie.
Oh yeah, and they actually had some real tunes or some real bands in there too.
Yeah. Mainly him was used because I guess they had the rights to, I think Bam managed him or something. But they were, you know, they were friends and everything, so they got a pretty good chunk of that. But and then CKY did a couple songs, and what was the other stuff that you noticed, Paul? Like, because I know you know a lot about the music.
Yeah, unfortunately, cow brain, I'm not remembering everything. But I do remember there were a number of songs that I was like, oh, okay, this must have been where the money went. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of a cool thing. It's the kind of stuff you might see on a Tony Hawk kind of video on MTV.
They had the Stooges with Search and Destroy. Yeah, Stooges. They had Clutch.
Clutch, yeah.
Amorphous. Let's see, New Order.
Yeah. I mean, that's not cheap.
They did their own version of La Vida Loca. Oh, we didn't even talk about that scene. The scene of him like masturbating to his own ass. That scene was like, what the fuck? You know, that's out of a, you know.
Yeah, that was weird.
Well, it was because that guy was a brain. It was like, maybe you could just picture your own ass, you know, right? And he goes and fucking does it. And I'm just like, what the fuck happens, you know, in that, like, oh. But yeah, they did the La Vida Loca, Living La Vida Loca, like parody, and that. And then Bomb Funk MCs, I never heard of them, but I guess they're friends, them too. And a bunch of Faithless, have you guys heard of that band? Nope. Oh, Slayer did a song. Slayer. You know.
And, so yeah, there's your pitch for sort of getting with the kids, you know, the teens.
Right. You
know, skaters and some popular thrash music and just a bunch of dumb shit.
Yeah, definitely. So that was cool. I love the music. I just thought the music was great. Was definitely part of like one of the best parts of the movie.
One of the better parts of it.
For sure. Lydia, were you a fan of the music? Did you like it?
Yeah, I mean, I like that type of music anyway, so.
Yeah. Like you're more heavy metal kind of chick, right? You know. There you go. Yep, she's
you an OTEP fan.
What?
You an OTEP fan, Lydia?
I do. I like them.
Yeah. Yay, I love OTEP.
There you go. So all right. And now we're going to get into the stunts, which there were a lot of stunts and stuff. My favorite, honestly, my favorite being the random bikers who threw Ryan into the dumpster. I almost felt like that wasn't part of the script. They just saw these bikers and were like, hey, do you want to throw our friend in the in the dumpster? And they're like, yeah, like, why not? Why not? And they fucking did it. And it was awesome. That was like, I don't know. That was really fun. There were skating stunts and stuff. There was that really cool when they're running from Rake, the use of Bam doing a lot of his skateboarding stuff, which I thought was pretty cool, you know, and it was shot very well. We didn't mention Joseph France did the cinematography, and I thought he did a pretty damn good job, you know, in some of those scenes.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in there that you could see, like I said, Tony Hawk skating kind of videos, and you know, you can see people have definitely used that, and I'm guessing there's that kind of stuff in Jackass as well.
Yeah, I think Tony Hawk was you know, worked with Jackass a few times and everything, so they're all good friends. I know, like nowadays, Bam is kind of, I think he got into a lot of alcohol issues or drug, I don't know, like stuff. So I don't know much about his personal life now, but I know he kind of left Jackass because they just did a new one and I don't think he's in it. So I kind of feel bad.
Doing it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. There's a new one coming out.
Oh, yeah. Lord.
There's a new one coming out this summer. I think it's coming out in August. So
it is August.
Yeah, it is August.
Jackass. Oh, we can't think of anything else better to do.
Well, no, I mean, what is it? Jackass, what, 5 now or something, or 4?
Been what, 20 years? 20 years of Jackass?
Yeah, you know, they're still doing shit, you know, good for them. They used to have their TV show. I wonder if MTV will bring that back at all. They brought back the Jersey Shore, so why not Jackass? You know,
not much difference between them, if you ask me.
I don't know. I know, Lydia, you seem to, I mean, enjoy Jackass, right? Are you going to watch the new one?
I don't like the movie.
Like the movie, yeah, the new movie.
I barely had time to watch this movie.
That's true. You are a busy woman. I was very happy that you did sit down and watch this for us, you know, appreciated that. So, but yeah, there's a lot of stunts, a lot of cool shit. With a lot of the montages, they did a few things. Some of the stunts were just simple shit, like Bran rolling down the hill, but I'm sure that still kind of hurt a little bit. You know?
I tell you what, though, Moody, we sorely needed some naked werewolf interpretive dance like in Dark Wolf. If we had had a little bit more of that, I think I would have been a lot happier.
It would have been a little random in that movie, but I think maybe that, you know, maybe that would have helped your score a little bit, you know. I don't know, though. Doesn't that go up the stinkometer if you see stuff like that?
Yes and no. It makes it more fun, but it also makes it weirder and more stinky.
Okay. So, oh, that's right. You don't like stuff that's kind of bland and meh. You know, you like things that are a little, either they're really good or really bad.
Miss Lydia, we have to show you Dark Wolf. I think you'd enjoy that one.
Yeah, maybe.
If you like werewolves.
Oh my God, I'm going through a tunnel.
Oh Lord, that's funny. She, you know, you're not really a big fan of like terrible B movies, right? Like, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. She wants things to be, you know, pretty decent for that, you know.
Dark Wolf is so good.
Yeah.
It's so bad at the same time.
It's so bad, it's good.
Yeah, that's exactly what we like here at Indie Film Cafe. See, that's why you're not our like permanent co-host, because I don't think you could take all these things. Yeah, you know, well, you don't even have time. You know, we were lucky to get you on this one.
Well, and maybe she'd be a good fit for Forgotten Horror Classics. Those are actually good movies.
Maybe. Once again, I think she's going through a tunnel. So all in all, all in all, I think, like I said, I've said this movie is something I've watched over and over and over again. I have the DVD. It does not have commentary, which is sad, but it does have that, that 45 minute, making of, which is also on YouTube. And it, you know, it was fun. Like, to me, I got to discover something that, you know, not many people have seen, and thanks to YouTube, people can view it. But you can also buy the DVD on Amazon or other places. I think eBay and other places like that. But since we've come to the end of our discussion here, Paul is going to tell everybody what the stinkometer is all about.
So, yeah, we do a score on the stinkometer where we rate our movies 1 to 10, by which 1 is a pretty darn good film, and 10 is a pretty darn stinky pile of cow poo, and 5 is kind of in the middle. And if you're feeling settled, you can go a half step, say a 5.5 or 6.5. And then once we have 3 scores, we total it up, and then we see how that compares to the other movies that we've seen during the season. And we end up figuring out which movie has been the stinkiest movie of the year, or which one has been the best movie of the year.
All right. So I'm going to go first, everybody, and I'm going to give it a 2. No, 3. 3. 3 was what I chose. It's just a little bit above Hey, Stop Stabbing Me, to me, you know, in my opinion. I can watch this movie just like you can watch Hey, Stop Stabbing Me over and over, over again, but it's, you know, it's a fun little flick. I'm going to give Paul next.
Okay. It's interesting because, as you mentioned, you know, I love Hey, Stop Stabbing Me, and I can see the comparison just in the characters and then just kind of the ridiculousness and all that. However, I loved Hey, Stop Stabbing Me a whole lot more than I liked this one. I'm going to give this one a 7.
Seven. Wow.
You know,
it's
pretty stinky, and, but you know, clearly I've seen worse. So it's high, but it's not that high. Technically, it was done pretty well. And I, like I said, I like some of the music. And I like the fact that there are bits and pieces of the characters in the story that I think could have done more with, you know, they could have done more with. However, there's a lot of other stuff that I just didn't find it very interesting at all. And there were other bits and pieces that, like that one character that I just absolutely hated.
Right.
So, 7 for me.
All right. So, by the way, you said 6.5 the last time I saw you.
Yeah,
so it's gone up.
It's gone up a bit.
Oh, so you've already done this one?
No. We were at Scares That Care because we were there this weekend. Paul had already told me like what he was going to rate this. You know, he was like, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to rate it. And I think I went down lower because I think I told you I was going to rate it a 4.
The other thing is that I wanted to make sure I'd seen it again. So I kind of flipped through it again before this, you know, before we got on here. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's fair because, like, remember, you watched, Sharks of the Corn. No, wait, right. House Shark. House Shark, and you liked it better each time. So maybe you're trying to see if maybe you liked it better the next time and you didn't. So
that's right. And I was very surprised by that. And you never know, man. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes you just don't see a movie and you're in the right mood and it just doesn't hit you right. And then you see it again sometime and you're like, wow, it's like seeing a brand new movie.
Well, there you go.
In this case, I think I liked it even less.
Well, there you go. What about you, Miss Lydia?
Probably can go with like an 8.
An 8? Oh, wow.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. What did you say, 8?
I just could not get into it. I will never watch it again.
I guess we're not watching this on the set of any of the other movies we do.
Yeah, I gotta mirror you on that. I you know, having seen it full all the way through once and partially again, you know, and there's just nothing there for me to want to see again.
Well, damn! Now I'm gonna have to watch it again all by myself, and I'm okay.
You and
with
Rocky.
Oh yeah, well, Rocky will watch anything. You know,
I have a feeling that anytime Jonathan wants to watch a movie on set, I'm going to be like, oh my God, I have to be over there.
Well, I mean, and you should feel worse when Paul picks. Because,
oh, come on.
I don't know. Paul picks some real, you know, movies like Barn of the Blood Llama.
They're worse.
Oh my God, I'm going through a tunnel.
More entertaining.
I don't know about that or not, but... I guess it depends. See, this is why I liked having Lydia on the show. I don't think, unless we do that other one that you recommended, Dumplings, we do something like that, which you already are aware that you like it and enjoy it, you know, you probably wouldn't want to come back. And it's not because, you know, not because of us, you know, you love us, but you just don't like these kind of movies, you know, which is fair, which is fair to say, because that they're a taste, you know, they're a certain thing. In fact, we were lucky when we found Just Jen before, you know.
Yeah, there's a story behind that.
Yeah, but no, but see, like, she was not somebody we were planning to have as a, well, maybe Paul was, but we were like, I mean, I didn't know originally she was going to join our group, and she did, and she, I mean, she still, you know, grits her teeth and watches these movies and gives fair reviews. And
well, the thing is with Just Jen is that, you know, I knew that I could probably wheedle her into this because I knew from before talking to her that she loved watching Mystery Science Theater and Riff Tracks. So I was like, well, if you like that, I know I can get you with some of these movies. And I knew Roller Gator would speak to her heart, and it did, of course.
You know, most people might like Roller Gator. You know, it's a cute little movie with a puppet roller. You know, maybe not Lydia.
They cried and complained about it, and then it's like halfway through the season, they're really crying about the movies. I'm like, Roller Gator looks really good now by comparison, doesn't it?
Definitely. Well, I just want to say thank you, Lydia, for coming on the show and chatting.
Yeah, being a good egg, we appreciate it.
I know, we really appreciate it. And we were very happy, like, considering this isn't your kind of thing, this isn't your bag, you know, but you suffered through it and you watched the whole thing. And I'm just, unless you skip through it, I don't know.
I watched it.
And I'm very appreciative of that, you know, because not everybody will do that for people, you know. So we really do think
Told you that we are going to shoot a reverse sex version of that movie where you're going to play the Ryan character.
Mom, that's what we're doing?
She's going to be running through a tunnel every time we talk to her now.
Okay, maybe not.
So
we're going to have to come up with a cooler invention.
Not the reverse microwave?
Yeah.
What would you create?
For an invention of the future?
Yeah. I guess that's all you on the spot then. That's kind of hard to like reverse just random.
Hot tub.
Ooh, what? Would that be a cold hot gold tub?
Cold tub.
Yeah. I don't know.
So just a tub?
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, that's an easy one then.
No, but see, that's the thing with the reverse microwave, because everybody was like, that's like a refrigerator, you know? Like, my favorite line in that whole movie is like, you know, Rab saying something where he's like, so you made an invention that just makes things colder, you know, or whatever. And he's like, yeah, that's what I just said. And he's like, but like, that's just so goofy because like, okay, you can just put everything in the refrigerator. Is that what, I guess it makes it colder in like a few seconds, you know?
Yeah.
It's actually now that I'm thinking about it, it's not a bad idea if somebody can actually.
Well, yeah, because like, think about how many, what about like soup?
But right. Didn't you make the soup the hot yourself?
You're not thinking.
But sometimes it's like super hot.
So why don't you put ice cubes in it?
Ew.
Because then it waters down your soup.
Okay. That's right.
All right. Well,
Jonathan's not a soup guy. He just.
I'm not a soup. I don't understand soup. And
I'm not a soup person myself.
But you know, you seem to know more than I do about soup. So you know,
I worked in a restaurant for a very long time.
I didn't. I spilled coffee today, and somebody was like, "You are not a waiter," you know. And
was it very hot? Because it could have been cooled down.
That's right.
I could have put it in a reverse microwave if I
exactly.
Yeah. You know what? It probably was.
If I were there, I could have gone. Oh.
Yeah. That character was so like annoying. I almost thought you like him for some reason, not because of the bro stuff, but because he just kept going on and on, and I thought Paul like thinks that shit's stupid and might have laughed. I don't know.
Yeah,
you really hated him. Well, that's good to know. So Lydia, what do you have going on in your world?
What don't I have going on?
I know you're so busy. What do you want to promote here on the show?
Well, I just filmed with Bill Diamond Productions.
Nice.
And it was for Toking with the Dead.
Is that a feature or a short?
No, what it is it's a comic book called Toking with the Dead. So each comic book is going to be an episode.
Oh, cool.
So we filmed episode 3.
Nice.
Did you say tilting?
No, toking.
Oh, toking. Like,
yeah.
I got to play a zombie, so that was super fun.
Yeah, we saw your scream and loved it.
Oh, yeah. I didn't get this. Obviously, zombies don't scream. But, you know, when you say scream queen, everybody's like, what's a scream queen?
And they want to hear you scream.
They want to hear me scream. So I screamed.
Mm-hmm. You screamed in the dark office as well.
Yeah, but I hope my scream has gotten better since then.
That was your first scream, you know.
That was my first scream.
You never forget your first scream.
Continuity monkey.
Yay!
Yes. So I do hope my scream has gotten better over the last few months.
I think I loved it. You know, I'm excited to see you scream even more for more stuff that you do.
Well, we laughed because when I did the scream out in the woods, as soon as I started, all of these birds just started flying out of the tree. So we all just started cracking up over that. So if everybody wants to go and check out Talking with the Dead on Facebook and Instagram. Make sure you go and give them a follow. It's a really great series. They can use all the support that they can get.
That's awesome. And did you meet them? Did you meet them at the Evil Expo that you were at?
I did.
Awesome.
And you know how I just make friends wherever I go.
Oh yeah. Lydia, people just flock to you, I think. Yeah.
That's the face. That's what it is.
Is that what it is?
It's what it is. Everyone loves a pretty face.
Yep. That they do. Wait, you have a pretty face, Paul? Is that what you're saying?
I think it's the continuity monkey's pretty face.
Okay. He's got a pretty face.
You've got to carry that around all the time.
Rocky loves continuity monkey too, but he likes to eat them.
Who doesn't love continuity monkey?
I know. He's awesome.
So anyway, is there anything else that you want to promote or like let people know what you're doing?
Well, we also have the House of Eats Flesh, which you know is my main project. That's what the house is going to sound like when it may or may not eat me. You're just going to have to stay tuned. So we have that coming up in just a few short weeks. I can't believe it's finally here. So we're going to be filming on September. Can't wait. You know, we have the amazing Lisa Wilcox. I know you got to see her at Scares That Cares.
I did. And I was super excited. She was so sweet. You know, she was.
I've heard so many great things about her. So
she was excited about House of East Flesh, by the way. She was talking about it with me. So she loved it. She can't wait to do it.
I hope you were like, yeah, oh my God, my friend Lydia Manson.
I did.
You did not.
Yes, I did. I watched her like, yeah, of course.
She was probably like, who is this?
She knew you. I mean, she knows the project, I think. You know, she knows who's in the project. Yeah.
Hey. Well, we're kind of hoping that next year you might come on down and do Scares of Care with us because we'd love to have you at our table.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yeah. And we're hopefully in November shooting something else, shooting some stuff from Tales from Echo Lake.
There you go.
So we will hopefully have you come back down there for that. That will be fun because we absolutely love having Lydia on set. Just so everybody knows that's listening to Indie Film Cafe, that Lydia, when she's on set, everybody will be tired, but she will be like getting everybody all like hyped up and excited and happy and, you know, keep everybody's spirits going because at the end of the shoots, it can get pretty tiring and, you know, you need somebody there to liven everybody's spirits up. And
no complaints, not even one. She was awesome.
Nobody complained.
Except for my
feet.
My feet did hurt.
Your feet did hurt.
Your feet complained a little bit. Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, you had your buddy Chris Roll, who would have been more than happy to massage your toes.
Bootsie. Well, I was laughing because when we were filming for Talking with the Dead, you know, you're just like standing outside doing nothing, like watching your reels film. So I just start like dancing and singing and joking around. And so recently I teamed up with Scoops and Mischief. And I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they're other indie actors. And they're super amazing. And they recently took me under their wing and I'm super grateful for them.
Yay.
And I just look and we're, you know, planning on doing a ton of projects together. And I just looked over at them because they're just like laughing at me at this point. I had just climbed into one of those big tractor tires just cause, and I was kind of like rolling around in it. And they're just like, I can't believe you. And I said, hey, so you know, this is me on set all the time.
Yep.
I'm like, and when it's 2 o'clock in the morning and I start mooing.
Yay.
Yeah.
I was like, just be prepared.
Well, when you become a big time scream queen, I hope you don't forget us folks down here at the bottom. The you know, worked with you way back when.
You'll never forget.
No, we were her first short. We were her first like acting thing, period.
Yes, yeah, my first time on set.
Yeah. So we love that. But yeah, I mean, you coming out there was just you were so sweet and down to earth and just easy to work with. I didn't even really need to give you much direction other than maybe do it again. You know, like there wasn't much to tell you to do. And then you were so sweet coming up to me and like being asking me all the time, like, am I doing, it was that good? Do I need to do it differently? And I'm just, you're great. Trust me. If I needed you to do it differently, I would have told you, you know, and I would have told you as nice as I can, because I know, you know, it gets kind of, you know, like hard at those.
He yells at me though. He yells at other people. No one's not going to yell at you.
I don't yell at Lydia, but I yell at Paul all the time.
Nobody wants to hurt Lydia's feelings.
Yeah, but it was fun to see you moo at Paul. And I remember hearing what the page looked over at you, goes, don't do that.
Oh, yeah, because I was just like in her ear and I'm just like, moo. And she was just like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know. I just don't.
Well, Paige has been on our show before a couple times, and good God, she has not come back in a while.
I know. I think we got her with Mummy Cat.
No, because we did the other Sledgehammers at Dawn after that. So,
oh yeah, she liked that one.
She liked that one. So I don't know. Maybe she just, you know, tired of watching these stinky movies. You know, right now
it happens.
You know,
see, if she would just say from the beginning that she doesn't like these movies,
right?
She said she likes them. I think her social calendar is now full, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, she likes to actually have a social life. We like podcasts and making movies
because so we don't have a social life of any kind.
Well, you sort of with your group, your game group.
Well, very exciting news. So Scoops and Mischief own a radio station called Hellfire Radio.
Nice.
And they have been gracious enough to hire little old me.
Yay.
Right.
And they are giving me my own podcast.
Yay.
Lydia Manson podcast? Nice, oh, nice. My goodness.
Yes.
What and are you going to chat about?
I am going to call it Just the Deets.
Oh, so you're going to have some fun with that, huh?
Just the Deets with Lydia Manson, all things strange and unusual.
Nice.
Yes, we'll have to tune in. And everybody at Indie Film Cafe has to tune in, too.
Sure.
For that show. We'll put a link up when you get it done there. We'll put it up so people can check it out.
Yes, I'll let you know when it goes live. I'm super excited.
Yay.
Definitely super excited, too. You know, like I said, you're not a fan of these kind of movies, you know, or whatever, but I'm sure like if we got like more Hollywood kind of really good horror movie that you like kind of thing, and we do it for a different show or something, you might want to come on board for that, you know, but for this ones, you know, like these are a little bit different than, you know, so you'll only do like one or two for these, but, you know, we appreciate it. You did, and we're very, very happy to have
but
you.
But I will hopefully ask that if you give you give me a shot for just one stinker. I'll make sure it'll be a good one. I'll make sure.
I'll try.
Okay, fair enough.
I thought you were going to go through another tunnel. Okay.
we'll give you a break for this year, and maybe it'll be next year.
Yeah, my calendar is booking up pretty fast right now.
I love it. I
also have to. I'm going to be going to Texas in October to film Passages of Nexus.
So, geez, you're
yeah, and I actually get to be associate. Assistant director on that film.
Sweet,
nice.
Yeah, so. I mean, I love that I get to learn all different aspects of filmmaking because I don't want to just be, I don't want to be just an actress. You know, I want to learn all the different aspects of everything.
I remember when we had our little interview after Dark Office and you were saying that, and I thought that was really, really great.
Oh, yeah.
So, good for you.
Because I get to be, you know, I am producer on The House of Deeds Flesh, so I don't have to just act on that one. And now being able to be assistant director on Passages of Nexus, So
there's more of a future when you have more hats to wear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I was recently, just yesterday, actually, someone reached out and asked me to do voiceover work for a cartoon. So that was, I mean, that was really interesting. I'm like, nice. Well, I have never done that, but I'm like, totally, absolutely. I would love to do that.
I think you have a great voice for it. So, you know,
you know how much I hate my voice. So.
Can you do like a cute little mouse voice?
I will. I'm going to have to work on it. I'm not going to do that right now.
But will you? But hey, for me, will you say aardvark?
Aardvark.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Nice.
Yes.
Jonathan's favorite word.
I know. Well, we were talking about it. I said, oh, I could listen to you read the dictionary. And so she picked the first word out of the dictionary, which was aardvark. And I was like, see, I love it. You know, it there still sounds great.
And I've been saying it for months.
I know, for Jesus, for months. But we love having you. You are a big part of Sick Flick Productions. You are one of the producers on us. So, you know, you're one of the production team. And we love having you. And, you know, we'll have to talk with you soon about the upcoming projects. And
yeah, I'm super excited for all of the things we have planned to do together.
And the monkey misses you big time.
I miss you too.
I know.
And all the chaos we're going to conspire together.
Oh, my goodness. I better not leave my phone open, I guess, next time. Or maybe I should.
Next time we'll get Jonathan's wallet.
We already kind of did.
Yeah, you kind of did with my credit card. You know, but all right.
I'm going to have to order a cosplay on it next time.
Nice.
That would be funny. Thank you guys so much. And thank you all for listening today. Tune in next, in 2 weeks, Paul's. We already did it. And oh boy, Paul's went for the couple ones. You guys are going to really, really, really enjoy that one. So that's going to be a fun one. And then we'll be back for more episodes and more stuff. Check out the Indie Film Cafe Network. There's a lot of stuff going on right now. So we love you guys, and check our YouTube channel out. So thank you guys for checking us out, and hope you guys enjoy it, and check you out on the flip side, everybody. Bye. La 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 la.